If you could turn with me to a first text, we're going to think about this subject tonight. Turn to the book of Romans. I've organized these in New Testament order. If you can turn to the book of Romans and chapter 12. We're going to think on this subject of hospitality. It's not a subject I've ever spoken on before as a single devotional, but I think it would be helpful for us tonight. Romans 12 and verse 13. So the subject that I want to think about is given to hospitality. It's a term that's mentioned twice in the New Testament. In fact, there are six different books, six different verses, which mention this subject of hospitality. We think of that term today as being those that go and eat or give meals, but it doesn't just mean that. It's much, much broader. It means the extending of kindness and a welcome to those who are of the faith and those who are strangers. Extending welcome and kindness and demonstrating love. This is clearly to be a feature of the New Testament church. Six references, John and Paul mention this term. It's a bit surprising. You will know that in New Testament times it was the culture of the day to be very hospitable. If you were traveling in the East, you could almost stay anywhere. It was the duty to give a bed and to give meals to those that needed it. So it's a bit surprising that in the New Testament, six verses should be mentioned on this subject. When the pilgrims went to Jerusalem several times a year, and once a year, particularly in large numbers, Jerusalem was filled. Where did they stay? There was no chain of premier inns or travel lodges in those days, and so it was almost expected that if you had space, a room, a bed, a floor, you would give hospitality. But today we don't live in that culture, particularly in the West. So I'm sure it's the case that the New Testament majors on this theme six times, because that practice of hospitality would disappear. It's still there in the East today. If you travel in certain countries, you can almost call on anyone if you need water or a bed or somewhere to stay. So here's the first text, Romans 12 and verse 13. Paul, writing to the church at Rome, he's giving various exhortations and instructions, and he says that we are to distribute to the necessity, the needs of saints. Well, you might say, okay, this is just for believers. If you particularly like another Christian, you are to show them a welcome. If they're one of yours, one of the people a bit like us, well, that's not what all these texts teach. But this one here says giving to the needs of the saints. Clearly, believers, given to hospitality. The word given means to pursue a goal. It's to be a goal of the Christian life that we are to be welcoming, hospitable. If somebody comes, they're traveling, they've just turned up to the church, they've found us on Google a few days before, they've just come from a faraway country, do we greet them? Well, I mention this not because it's a problem in this church. I think on the whole we are very welcoming, and people say that. But the time to learn things is when you don't have a problem, and to reinforce these things. Given to hospitality, we are to have a goal, and we are to make it our practice, and we're to get organized to spot the need. He says, Paul, here, the need, the necessity of the saints. Somebody comes to town, they've only just moved in, they don't have any shopping, they don't have anyone to go to on a Sunday or during the week. We will want to extend hospitality to them. Let's look at a second text. If you look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, you'll be familiar with this. It's one of the lists of qualifications suitable for those who could be called to work as an officer. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2. These qualifications, they're not just for those who are to be deacons and elders and pastors, but they're something we should all aspire to. And so it says here again, 1 Timothy 3 verse 2, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of but one, we could add but one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality. He mentions it again. Paul, this is to be a quality. We are to be hospitable. You don't need to turn to it, but Titus has the same term. It's to be a mark, a qualification of mature believers. Perhaps not those young in the faith, but a hallmark of Christian believers who are mature in the faith is that we should be welcoming. We are to be, as it says in Titus, lovers of hospitality. We're to love, to look out for strangers. We can do that in a variety of different ways. Somebody comes in, we greet them before they even come into the church with a welcome. They come in and afterwards we smile and we seek to get to know them, see if they have any needs. If possible, we see what those needs are and we see that somebody can meet them, if possible. Well, turn to Hebrews chapter 13. And there's another verse here, Hebrews 13 and verse 2. What does the fourth commandment say? Remember the Sabbath day. And I always think that word remember is there because we're apt to forget. Well, what does it say? Hebrews 13 verse 2. Be not forgetful. New Testament believers, this is something that could easily slip your mind. You get out of practice. You're not given anymore. You once were, but then you stick to your own group. You speak to the people that you're used to speaking to. Well, the writer to the Hebrews says, be not forgetful. Hebrews 13:2, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, not just believers, not just people we like, not people who come from churches like us. They might come from a completely different background. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, foreigners, not literally foreigners, but people who are from outside, people who are different, people that come in, they don't know us. For thereby, referring no doubt to Abraham and Lot, who did that and entertained angels, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. So, we're to find the needs and meet them. We're to be given and lovers of hospitality. And we're not to forget, this is something we have to keep reminding, just like the Lord's Day. Remember, don't be forgetful. Don't stay in your holy huddle. Remember Abraham and Lot. They entertained angels unawares. 1 Peter chapter 4, just two more verses. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 9, I'm just trying to prove to you that this is all the way through the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 9. What attitude are we to have? Once we've remembered, reminded ourselves, Peter says this, 1 Peter 4 verse 9, use hospitality one to another without grudging. Well, when we were with a young family, it was difficult. When you have children and all the needs of children, it seems to be a great obstacle, and no doubt there are needs of children. But my experience is this, that when you have children in the home particularly, there is a great advantage of having visitors. People who are different speak about different things, they have different experiences, different cultures, different countries, different issues. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. The suggestion of Peter is it might be a burden to be welcoming. We might want to rush off. We might have things to do, people to see, other priorities. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Don't see it as a burden. See it as a privilege. And you might just find that there's great blessing in it. When you have people from different situations into your own home or into your church, and there is a diversity, and we can learn from each other. We can learn of people's different experiences. We'll turn to 3 John, our reading, and to verse 8. This speaks of Gaius. And there's a lovely term here before we just draw this together. 3 John. This is what he says. We therefore, verse 8, ought to receive such. He's referring to the Gentiles. They're on a journey. Mentions it in verse 6. They've come on a journey. They need help. And he says, we therefore ought to receive these foreigners, these strangers, these Gentiles. And what happens if we do? It says that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. The truth is proclaimed, it's preached, it's lived. People come in from outside. We ought, we have an obligation to receive them. And when we do, we will complement the gospel ministry. We'll complement the truth. And in so doing, we will become fellow helpers to the truth. Isn't this the New Testament teaching? Why is it mentioned in 6 verses? Well, we might be prone to stay in cliques. It's easy. Speak to the people we like. The people that have got the same interests as we do. The people we like to have conversation with. No, we're not to do that. There'd be time for that. What would happen if our homes were such that we treated them like show homes? Didn't want anybody to come in case they made a mess. Well, that would be difficult. That would be an obstacle. What about if we had something to hide at home? Didn't want people to see what was on the bookshelves or in some other part of the home? That could be an obstacle. What would happen if we had a mean and an uncaring spirit to people that had real needs? Perhaps somebody that didn't wash, somebody that had been homeless, and they came to us. And it says here we ought to receive such. The New Testament doesn't qualify. It says we're to welcome all. Those of the household of faith, definitely. But even those who are strangers. What would happen if we were too busy? We weren't available. We weren't there when somebody came in that we could help. Or that would be an impediment to to hospitality. Well, what are the lessons? The lessons for us, you may be at a situation in life where giving meals is difficult. That's not what this means. This is about having the right heart. This is about love. This is about having the right eyes and ears and attitude to those who come in, to those that we can welcome, to those who might speak a different language or don't even speak English at all. They're here to learn. It might be easy to begrudge because there's differences. The New Testament teaches so clearly we're not to begrudge. We're not to sidestep. We're to be open, transparent, and when we do, there will be indirect and direct blessings. My conviction is this: when a church is welcoming, the Holy Spirit will dwell in that church. And the Lord will delight to work and to send in those that have needs, because He will see that we might be trustworthy and we might become, as it says here in third letter of John, fellow helpers. Isn't that what we want to be? Fellow helpers to the truth, complementing the ministry, so that not just our words and the preaching and the word of God, but our actions and our attitude go hand in hand, side by side. And the people come in and say, see how they love one another. And they love the outsider. And they love those who are not like them, but they walk in. It's a hard thing to walk into a chapel and church if you've lived a life outside the church. But the exhortation here is that we should be given to hospitality. I believe we are. And the Lord has blessed us with those who take a real interest. But may we continue. May we spot the opportunities. May we give a smile. May we give a gentle word. May we notice, not besiege, not smother, but to have a heart for those who come in, to be generous, not to be begrudging. I promise you, there will be a blessing for you and your family when that is your attitude. It will be a testimony to your children and to those who come in, and we will gain a reputation as being a welcoming, hospitable church. And most of all, isn't this what the Lord would have us to be? The Lord who Himself spoke to the woman at the well, met her where she was, and greeted her, and met her need spiritually and physically. Well, may the Lord help us to be given to hospitality.